This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you very much, Bereshus Moreinu, Hagon of Shechter Shlita, Bereshus Mardas Rav Neuberger. I want to begin with an apology. The topic that I was given was something along the lines of what to look for in a shidduch. So this is not really a shir, it's more of a shmooze about what to look for in a shidduch, and I particularly want to apologize for the two great Talmidei Chachamim who I just mentioned, who have to sit here and listen to non-Torah for the next little bit. I'm Rav Schechter's ride back to yeshiva, so... I think that I have a lot of thoughts on this topic, actually, and that's why Judah was kind enough to give me this topic about what to look for in the shidduch. I think many of us have an intuitive sense that the system, whatever the system is, and there are many different systems, is in some way not working in the best possible way. That there are young men, young women that may be misguided in a certain sense, or maybe aren't receiving the proper guidance, or maybe don't have the proper hashkafa in terms of what exactly it is that a person should be interested in, what exactly it is that a person should be looking for. And perhaps the first rule in terms of what to look for is maybe not to have so many rules, maybe a little less analysis and a little less thinking would be good for us. I often tell Talmidim about the research of John and I think Julie Gottman, Dr. and Dr. Gottman, two of the great marriage experts in the secular world. They happen to be Orthodox Jews, but their research is all secular research. They worked very hard on the question of what are predictors of a successful marriage. Meaning, is it similar hashkafa, similar personality types? What exactly is it? Is it similar backgrounds? What are the predictors? And they did a lot of research, interviewing thousands and thousands of couples, and the only question that they found to be actually predictive of a successful marriage is if you ask someone, how do you feel about yourself when you are with this person? Are you comfortable? Are you happy? Are you okay being vulnerable? Or are you tense, nervous, scared? How do you feel about yourself when you're with this person? And when you're in a situation, when you, what they call chemistry, when you feel that that you could be yourself, that you could be completely comfortable being yourself, that tends to predict, or is the only question, according to their research, that predicts success, long-term success in marriage. I've had many Talmidim who have struggled in early stages of marriage, and sometimes beyond that, and sometimes it didn't get beyond that, where they said, you know, she checked every single box, everything I was looking for, my entire checklist. I was terrified and nervous every time I was anywhere near her, but she checked every single box. Well, that's obviously, it's not going to work then. Now, so on the one hand, this could be a very, very short talk. We could just say, pay attention to yourself. Pay attention to what you're feeling when you're with the other person. But we're not just human beings who want to succeed in marriage and who want to be able to be happy and live happy lives. We're also Jewish people, and we're Ovdei Hashem. So that's not enough for us. Meaning it's not enough to only look for that which will make me happy. We have a responsibility as Jewish people to raise the next generation. It's probably well known, most people have heard the time that I think it was Rav Eliyadah Goldwicht had asked Moreinu Hagaon Rav Schechter Shlita what his greatest success in life to this point has been. And as someone who's been Rosh Yeshiva for close to 60 years and Rosh Kollel for many, many decades and all the Talmidim and everything and the Svarim and everything else, Moreinu Hagaon Rav Schechter Shlita said that I raised a generation of children and grandchildren who are all Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos. That's an achrayus that a person has to try our best to be able to raise generations of Shomrei Torah and Mitzvos. So being happy is good and that's the starting point, but that can't be everything. We need to look for what's going to give us the best chance of success in that realm as well. Now, I was thinking that probably most of the people that are going to be here this morning are married people, in which case you shouldn't be looking anymore. So you shouldn't be looking for what's going. So what's the message for a married person? So for many of us, we have children in shidduchim, sometimes grandchildren in shidduchim, and we're thinking along those lines. But I was thinking that maybe a good way to think about this question in general is to approach it backwards. Think about what makes a good husband. What makes a good wife? What makes a person a good spouse? And then work backwards and say, well, from my experience, I know what makes a person a good spouse. So now let's work backwards and say, and maybe those are the things that I should be looking at. Oftentimes, when young people are looking for a spouse, they look through the eyes of a young person. But the plan is to get old with that person. The plan is not to be to always be young. And therefore, sometimes there are the wrong points are emphasized. Rav Yisrael Reisman once commented that, I just mentioned this the other night, Rav Yisrael Reisman once commented that he said to his wife once, you know, if you would have been suggested a shidduch of a young man who's a ben Torah in yeshiva who walks with a limp, you probably would have rejected the shidduch right away. He said, it happens to be, right? Anyone knows Rabbi Reisman, when he was a young man, he was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his leg. He had 7 kids under the age of bar mitzvah, and he went straight from his oldest son's bar mitzvah to surgery to have the tumor removed that night. And Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. Ada Yom Hazeh, though, he walks with a limp. He said, you never would have gone out with a guy that walks with a limp. But in the long run, it didn't matter so much that he walks with a limp. Sometimes we look at things, you know, what's right in front of us, and we don't keep in mind the long term. Of course, one needs to be attracted to their spouse, but overemphasizing physical characteristics is very short-sighted, and it tends to be something that's a mistake that people make in their youth. I heard over the years a lot of Shalom Bayis Shmuzin from Rabbi Reisman, so I'm going to share a lot of the things that I tried to jot down every time I heard something, so I'm going to try to share a lot of the things that he has said. At a recent Aguda convention, they asked certain questions about shidduch about shidduchim in a question answer session, and Rabbi Reisman said, the first time somebody asked me about a shidduch for a young lady by asking what size dress does she wear, the boy's mother asking what size dress does the young lady wear, he said, I asked the boy's mother, what size dress do you wear? And she said, well, that's not nice. And he said, right, it's not nice. Somebody who aspires to Kedusha and is sitting in Kolal and is going to Hakazoni Yasas Achoseinu, that's the way that a young man should be thinking. They say that the mother wants the picture, not the boy wants the picture. Good, let the mother send a picture of herself back the other way, he said, if that's so important. Somebody, you'll care much more whether a spouse will be a good parent in the long run than how cool they were in high school. And sometimes, you know, it's that's what people are thinking about. They're thinking about their social chevra and which chevra this person was with, that person was with. Try to think long term. The Torah starts Eben Ezer, Simen Aleph, Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado, Es Lo Ezer Kenegdo, Yisbarach Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shehu Chafetz B'Tov B'Riosav, Sheyeda She'in Tov LaAdam Liyos Levado, Val Kein, Asalo Ezer Kenegdo, and then he goes on to discuss the mitzvah of Puruvu in Simen Aleph. I mean, the Torah starts the very beginning of Eben Ezer by saying that people are supposed to get married, and the very first topic of discussion, right after saying people are supposed to get married, is, and people are supposed to have children, is the mitzvah of having children, which is supposed to gear our mind toward what we're supposed to be thinking about when getting married. Who is someone that I would want to raise children with that's going to do a good job raising children? Rainer of Shechter Shlita was asked in a question-answer session in Yeshiva HaKotel earlier this year. Guys take notes, and they send them to me afterwards. I think they take notes after Shabbos. It was a Shabbos question-answer session. So they tried to remember, they took notes, they sent it to me afterwards. So Rav Shechter will correct me if this is wrong. But he said that they asked this question to Rav Shechter. What should we be looking for? And he said that the most important thing, and the first thing you need to make sure of, is that there be Yiras Shamayim. If she seems like the right person, with the right midos, the right values, then that's worth considering. It's important for one to judge someone by who the person is right now and not who the person used to be, and whether they're headed in the right direction in terms of observance of mitzvahs and kashrus and all of those things. Rav Shachter emphasized also being from a good family. It helps immensely if the father is a Talmud Chacham. That's what Chazal tell us, that a person should be Mocher Kol Mashi Yeshlo in order to Yis a Bas Talmud Chacham, in order to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. That's an important thing. Why is that such an important thing? So if a young man is going to want to be serious about his learning, he's going to be serious about his growth in learning, and he marries a young lady who was told in seminary that she's supposed to say, I want to marry a Talmud Chacham, but she has no idea what a Talmud Chacham looks like. She has no idea what it looks like when someone goes out to learn a night seder, or someone wakes up early to learn a morning seder. So it's going to be very difficult for her. She's not going to understand. Her father was always around the house. He was never busy with anything. He came home from work, and everyone had his full attention. So she'll never understand why he has to run out to go learn all the time. It will be very, very difficult for her. They say in the name of the Chazon Ish that any girl educated in a good school nowadays has the din of a Bas Talmud Chacham. Nothing really replaces the real deal. It has a partial din of a Bas Talmud Chacham. As with most things that Rav Shechter advises us, you look long enough and you find it in Shulchan Aruch. So in Evin HaEzer, in Siman Beis, it talks about who to marry. And the first thing the Torah says is to marry an Isha HaHogenes Lo, which ostensibly means a Miyuchesas, someone who has a certain Yichus. But then he goes on to describe, and what does Yichus look like? He doesn't go to describe how many generations you have to look back to see that they come from Kohanim, Talmidei Chachamim, or whatever else. He goes on to say it really means Ve'ezu Siman HaYachas, a person who, when other people humiliate them, they take it in stride, they're silent, they don't fight back. The greatest yichus in Bavel was shtika, was that a person knew how to take things and roll with the punches and not be a bal midos tovus, not to be someone who has bad midos. And he goes on, the Torah goes on to identify other bad midos as symbols of yichus. The yichus is not about the yichus. The yichus is about the midos. And it's really primarily about the midos. If let's say you know that a person is not a miuchas, but you see that the midos are fantastic, or vice versa, the guy is not a miuchas, but the midos are fantastic. So Rav Meisha has a tshuva about this. The Stipler has a letter about this. A guy was dating a girl who was a balas tshuva. So one thing he knew, that the parents weren't religious, and the mother probably didn't go to the mikvah, so because they weren't religious. And the Gemara says that a bas nida is going to have very bad midos. So it seems that the person defied the odds, that this young man was dating this girl, balas tshuva, she seemed to have wonderful midos. So the young man wanted to ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, so what do I do? The Gemara said they didn't have terrible midos. I see in front of my eyes that they have great midos. So should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? So Rav Moshe and the Stipler each had a different, slightly different take on it. They both said marry the person. Rav Moshe said, probably the person's not a bas nida. But her parents weren't religious. So probably the mom went to the beach around that time, and she probably went into the ocean, and that's a tevila that's valid on a daraisa level. She's wearing a bathing suit, so it's only chatzitza mitrabana, whatever it might be. So probably it's not a bas nida anyway. The Stipler said different. The Stipler said a few things. One of the things that he said in his letters is that the idea is that it's if a person is a bas nida, so then probably they have things working against them. So a person has bechira chafshis though. So if a person is able to overcome, let's say a person has a poor upbringing, they were brought up by parents who have terrible midos, and they still become great bali midos tovos, that tells you about the strength of that person. That tells you just how great that person is. That some of us are brought up by wonderful parents and still aren't bali midos tovos. This person was brought up by terrible parents and is bali midos tovos. So a person who has starts off life with a strike against them, and they manage to overcome, and they manage. So adraba, grab her. That's the person that you want to marry. But again, the concept of yichus seems to be more about midos than anything else. A lot of times, Rabbi Reisman said when he gets calls about shiduchim, they ask if the boy is the type of boy that's going to keep on learning after he gets married and he starts working. So he says he always gives the same answer. Probably depends who he marries. And if he's going to marry someone who's going to be interested in him continuing to learn, then he's going to continue to learn. If he marries someone who's not interested in continuing to learn, then he's likely not going to be able to continue to learn. So what I'd like to do is identify, now that we've identified some of the things that people maybe shouldn't be looking for, people overemphasize or underemphasize, I'd like to identify what I think, and I again, you know, take it for what it's worth, what I think are four or five midos that make for a good spouse and make for a good chance of raising a family of B'nai and B'nos Torah, of continuing that tradition that we're responsible to continue, that goes all the way back to Har Sinai and really from before, from the Avos and the Imahos. So one mida, I think, is someone who's going to be supportive of their spouse, someone who's not thinking about themselves all the time and is going to do whatever they can to be able to bring out the best in the other person. Rabbi Reisman often says, "No woman ever married a man because he is such a good bal etza." You know, a lot of times a woman will say, "You know, I have a headache," so he says, "Oh, there's something called Advil. You can take Advil," and that will. She knows there's something called Advil. She knows what it's meant to treat. She knows where you keep it in the house. All she wants to hear is a little bit of support, a little bit of chizik. That, oh, you must be so hard to go through your day with such a headache. She'll take the Advil. She'll figure out to take the Advil just to show that you hear each other. Rav Palm once told a guy that he was in violation of the isra of being mitzarer in almana because he wasn't speaking nicely to his wife. And the Sefer Chinuch says that the reason it's so terrible to be Mitzar and Almana is that she doesn't have a husband to go back to. She doesn't have a husband to go cry to. So he says, if the source of the Tzar is the husband himself, then who's she going to go to? Who's she going to get support from? So you're being Mitzar and Almana if a person doesn't speak nicely. A person has to speak nicely to give chizik, to give encouragement. I always thought that was the pshat, that some of the Rishonim say that the 10th test of Avraham Avinu was having to deal with Ephron in the burial of Sarah Yimenu. Right, so why is that the 10th test? You would think the 10th test is the ultimate test. So you would think that Kedas Yitzchak would be the 10th test. But having to deal with Ephron, having to deal with people who are going to gouge you in pricing of a kever, you know, it still goes on. A lot of people since Avraham Avinu have had to deal with that. So that's the biggest deal, that he had to deal with Ephron. I always thought that the pshat was that was the first test he was going through, that he knew that when he comes home at the end of the day, he's not going to be able to say at the end of the day, "Ay, sorry, you're not going to believe the day I had today." Up until then, every nisayon he had, he thought when he comes home at the akedah she wasn't going to be, but he thought she was going to be, that at least he'll be able to come home at the end of the day and say, "Oh, you're not going to believe the day I had today." That he'll have someone to confide in, someone to talk to, someone who can give him some chizik. And now he had to go through something where he didn't have anyone to confide in, he didn't have anyone to give him chizik. The spouse has to be supportive of their spouse. A second midah that I think is, and again, it's for us who are married, it's a good chizuk to remind ourselves to be better at this. And for those looking for shiduchim, these are perhaps some of the midos to look for. So the second midah, in addition to being supportive, is being resilient, being flexible. Reisman often says that he tells a couple under the chuppah, "Look, I'm not a navi. I can't tell you what life is going to be like from here on in. One thing I can guarantee you, though, 100%, is that it's not going to be exactly what you think it's going to be." We're batting 1,000 on that. That the way your life is going to play out is not going to be exactly the way you think it's going to play out. In some ways, it likely will be worse. In many ways, hopefully, it will be much better than you even have the audacity to dream it will be. But there are many things that happen in our lives that if we think back, Hashem, I've been married now for around 26 years. Don't tell my wife, I wasn't sure the exact number, but something like that. So we think back, and like you think what you were thinking under the chuppah. We never would have had the audacity to dream B'liyai and Hara some of the things. And there are things in life that don't go exactly the way you want them to go. Sometimes better, sometimes worse. But a person needs to be able to roll with the punches. You know, if you aim to compromise by having your way 50% of the time, and the spouse having their way 50% of the time, that's not going to be successful. And there's a simple reason for that. Women, when a woman gives in to a man's way of doing things, the man always thinks to himself, well, naturally, I convinced her that I was right. Meaning he's not going to think that she was mevater. A man is mevater, the woman knows that the man is mevater. A woman's mevater, the man thinks, ah, I explained it to her. So now she understands. Right, I'll give you a mashal. She wants to leave to a wedding at 6:15. He says they should leave at 6:45 because traffic is heavy at 6:15, and he studied how the Cross Bronx works and how to get to the marina, whatever. So we're going to get there at roughly the same time anyway. And she doesn't have the energy to fight. So she says, okay, fine, we'll leave at 6:45. So he doesn't think she compromised. He doesn't think she was mevater. He just thinks, oh, naturally, she did the sensible thing, that that she finally saw the sensible way of thinking about things. But a person has to be able to genuinely compromise and genuinely be able to roll with things when they don't work out exactly as you expect. A lot of things we only know if they're good after the fact. Rav Pam used to give halacha shir. He never gave musar. He had a shmuz that he would give on Fridays, and halacha shir he would give in Yeshiva Torah V'das, during the week. And the shmuzin were the shmuzin, and the halacha was the halacha. But there was one time that he was learning Hilchos Shechita, and he was discussing whether somebody who shechts for the first time should say Shechianu. And Rav Pam said, you know, why is it that we don't say Shechianu when we get married? So he responded, because marriage is what you make of it. Meaning, getting married is not inherently good, but it can be great if you make it great. And that's true of so many things in life. It's what you make of it. It's how you deal with it as it happens, as things unfold. You know, in benching, in Nodelcha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yitzias Mitzrayim after we thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael. That's a little bit backwards. Why would we thank Hashem for Yetzias Mitzrayim after Eretz Yisrael? But perhaps because the value of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it happened, was still an unknown. Oh, once we get Eretz Yisrael, now we can appreciate Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because life is what you make of it. A lot of times we only understand how valuable something is once we're able to appreciate how it turns out. And how it turns out very often is up to us. It's about what we make of it. It's about how a person is able to deal with those things that are unexpected. A third potential mita to highlight is communication and how effectively a person communicates. Not just how effectively, but how a person communicates. I remember when my wife started teaching kalas, I was teaching chasanim way before she was teaching kalas. I'm a rabbi, she's an accountant, so it was a different profession. But she had a few questions. First question she wanted to know is, how long do you spend with the chasanim on why it's important to observe the halachos of nida? Like, why is this an important thing? So I said, I really try to spend a good 25 to 30 seconds or so on why it's important to observe halachos of nida. So because I say over what the Gemara says. The Gemara has one line of Gemara, and most of the chasanim that come to me are B'nai Torah. They're committed to Shmiras Torah and Mitzvos. It's a self-selecting group, because I teach in yeshiva, so it's B'nai Yeshiva that come to me. I only teach my Talmidim anyway. So she said, no, it doesn't work with the Kala. With the Kala, you need to spend like 2 hours explaining why we observe halachos of nida. She needs to feel it. She needs to understand it. But then one of the things my wife said to me is that she found that in her Shalom Bayis Shmuz, she just kept on saying the word communication, communication, communication. So I feel like a broken record. Am I doing something wrong? I said, no, I think you're doing something right. I think that seems like one of the more important things to highlight. You know, a husband always has to express his love to his wife. He has to be able to communicate that in an appropriate way, in an appropriate setting, in an appropriate time. And obviously, it's expressed differently when a couple is dating than it is when a couple is married. The story is told of a newly married guy was having Shalom Bayis problems, and his wife, they came to the rabbi, and his wife said, you know, he never ever tells me that he loves me. And the guy said, I don't understand. When we were engaged, I told her that I love her, so until further notice. Like, well, why would you assume anything changed? But it's important for a person to be expressive and to know how to express these things, and to know that when you express something, you tend to believe it a little bit more, and you tend to internalize it a little bit more. In general, a person has to be thoughtful about how they communicate. One of the ways to communicate a sense of affection is by doing things that we're not otherwise obligated to do. The Maisa is told of a young man who once got into his first argument with his wife, and he came to yeshiva that day feeling dejected, feeling like the marriage is over, this is terrible, we're not in absolute bliss anymore. And the Mashkiach told him, don't worry about it, go buy flowers on the way home at lunchtime and bring your wife flowers. So the boy, ever obedient, did just that, and he came home with the flowers and he said, the Mashkiach said I should give this to you. So obviously it didn't work, if it's because the Mashkiach said you should give it to him. You need to develop a relationship with anybody. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu also we develop a relationship by doing the extra things sometimes, by going with Lifnei Mishurat HaDin every now and then, by taking on an extra hakpada that, every now and then. So certainly in our Ben Adam L'Chavero relationships, a person has to be willing to do that. You don't have to communicate everything. You don't have to communicate everything all the time. Not every thought that comes into a person's mind has to be immediately communicated, right? If a person has a thought exactly about what he thinks about his in-law's attitude toward whatever, he doesn't necessarily have to say that immediately, to his wife or to the girl that he's dating or anything else. A chassan once told me that his wife's kala teacher taught her that the key to a successful marriage is that they should never go to bed upset at each other. They should always talk it out before they go to sleep. I thought Rabbi Reisman said something that really resonated with me. He said that is fantastic advice for a woman. It is actually terrible advice for a man, probably. Because most of the things that men are upset about, we'll forget about by the next morning. So you go to sleep, but you brought it up. Now it's going to be racing through your wife's mind all night, and it's going to be... If you could just let it go and see if it still bothers you tomorrow, then you could talk about it. Most of the time, it's not going to bother you by tomorrow. Most women, if there's something that they're upset about, if they don't share it, if they're not able to express it, so then it just builds and builds and builds in their mind. If they don't talk it out before they go to sleep at night, by the next morning, they think they're getting divorced. So it's a very different type of attitude. A person has to know when to communicate and how to communicate. Another midah to highlight is the midah of positivity. The midah of just being a happy person. My daughter-in-law pointed this out, this one out to me. We were talking about whatever it is, whatever the topic was, and my daughter-in-law pointed out to me, it's hard to be around a person who's not smiling. It's hard to be around a person who's not happy. We asked Rabbi Moshe Benovitz once what midos he looks for in a madrich on NCSY Kollel. It's a big deal for young men of a certain age to be able to get a job as a madrich on the NCSY Kollel, because that means that they're viewed as a ben Torah and a role model, and it's a wonderful opportunity to spend the summer with Rav Shechter and Rav Tversky, and it's a great atmosphere. So how do you decide who's going to get the job as a madrich on the NCSY Kollel? Are you looking for the biggest Talmud Chacham? What are you looking for exactly? And he said, I'm looking for a ben Torah who's happy. Because no one looks at a person who's grumpy and says, I want to be that guy. You want to be like the person. If the person seems happy with their life, and they're happy being observing Torah mitzvot, and that's a person you want to be with as well. Rabbi Reisman tells a story that he noticed a guy once as he was leaving yeshiva, he was leaving Torah Vadas, and he saw a guy standing on the corner wearing a dark suit and a tie, and cufflinks, and a hat, and he was looking at his watch and pacing up and down the corner. So it didn't take long to diagnose exactly what was going on. His wife was late to pick him up to go to a chasana. He was all dressed up for a chasana, and he was looking at his watch, and his wife was obviously late to pick him up. So Rabbi Reisman said, I know people don't like when I quote this, but there's a good message to this. He said, as he was walking, he said, I didn't even break stride. I just walked right by him and I said, don't blame her, blame God. He made them all this way. And that was his line. That's what he chose to say in that moment. The next day, the fellow came into yeshiva, and the fellow said to him, Rabbi, you saved my shalom bayis last night. So, what did I do? He said, I was preparing the speech in my head. I was ready. I was going to tell her, how could you do this? My parents are going to be at this wedding. I'm important there. They want me to be to read the Tanayim, because, you know, a wedding can't happen without someone reading the Tanayim. You know, how could you be late? How could you not be? And he said, and you know what would have happened? We would have driven for an hour and a half to Lakewood, or 2.5 hours in traffic, you know what I mean? To Lakewood, sitting in the car, angry at each other the entire time. And it would have been an awful night. But when you walked by and you made that little joke, he said, I started to think to myself, well, is this worth it? Is this worth it? This is really, just be a happy person. So I got into the car, I thanked my wife for picking me up, and I asked her how her day was. And we had the most lovely drive to Lakewood. We had the most lovely night together, not at the wedding, with separate seating, but, you know, on the way there and on the way back. We had the most lovely night together. So you saved my shalom bias. My wife likes to quote from Rebbetzin Yocheved Schachter, Rebbe J.J. Schachter's wife, that if you're upset about something, you should strike while the iron is cold. Like, not to strike while the iron. Sometimes you get upset about something, you want to immediately react. Sometimes wait a little bit till you think about, is this worth it? Is this worth immediately reacting to? You want to make sure. It's always, my father told me before I got married, it sounds like it's a trite, simple piece of advice, but it's more important to be happy than it is to be right. So you want to think about what's going to bring about happiness, and you're looking for someone who has the tools to be a happy person and to have a happy home. When I brought the Talmidim in Yeshiva a couple of years ago when we were learning Nida, I brought them to Torah Vadas to meet, I bring them to Brooklyn once a year. So we went to Rav David Cohn to talk and learning, and then to Rav Yisrael Reisman to talk and learning. So give them exposure to different Talmidei Chachamim. So after we talked and learning, Rav Reisman said, I'm going to give you guys advice because you all look like people who are either just got married or are thinking about getting married. So I just want to give you one bit of advice, unsolicited. So take it or leave it. He said, you come home after a long day. When you walk in the house, walk in with a big smile on your face. Bring sunshine into the house with you. Bring positivity into the house with you. No matter how your day went, no matter what it was like. After dinner, you could tell your wife, oh, by the way, we need a new car because I crashed it up today. But right when you walk in, it should be all positive. You want to make sure that your home is a happy environment. So that's, I think, a very, very critical thing to look for in a shidduch. Rav Daniel Kalish once pointed out, probably more than once that I heard, that Jewish belief in terms of what love is very different than secular belief. We believe that we are producers of love. The world, Western civilization, believe that love is something that just is, and they're reporters of love. If there's a sense of love, I will describe that love to you. And as soon as it goes away, it is not there anymore. Love means, in Judaism, that we have found somebody worth committing to, and that we're willing to work hard and fully commit to that person. And even when it gets difficult, but that's gufa, that's exactly the point, that when it gets difficult, that we're committed. That's the we produce love. We don't just observe love. We build it over time. All the things, the amazing things we talk about in the Sheva Brachos, those are things that are built. Those are not things that are just that just happen in a moment of time. So we've highlighted a few of the midos, and that I think are worthwhile. That maybe should be more emphasized than they are. First and foremost, we said Yiras Shamayim. That there has to be a sense of your shemayim, of religious commitment. Second, a sense of someone who's going to be supportive and someone who's going to be encouraging of their spouse. Third, we spoke about being resilient and being flexible, being able to roll with the punches. Fourth, we spoke about being communicative. Someone who's able to communicate, not just to communicate at all. It's good, sometimes you can communicate very well exactly what I'm going to do with this pot when I throw it at your head, right? But that's not good communication, to communicate in the right kind of way. And finally, we spoke about positivity and the importance of being a happy person, being a cheerful person. Just last night, I was learning with a young man, with a chassam, and he's engaged to a young lady from my shul, and I texted the young lady's father afterwards. I said, I didn't know this young man before. Normally I only do chassan classes with my talmidim, but this someone engaged someone from the shul, I decided counts as a talmid also. So I said, this boy is like a breath of fresh air. He comes in with like such positivity, such happiness, such joy. That's such a valuable, valuable midah. So many of these things, I should add, can be taught or can be and need to be worked on. And many of these things are, can be coached properly. And I strongly recommend some sort of premarital coaching, counseling, whatever word you're going to use that's going to convince them to do it. Some education, some say you can't say counseling because then people get scared. So pre-marriage education, pre-marriage coaching, pre-marriage, yay, I don't know, whatever's going to make people happy, whatever's going to make people do it, I think is very worthwhile. We should all be zocha to find what we're looking for and what we need in order to raise the next generation in our own shiduchim, no matter how many decades we've been married, and we should all be zocha to find these things for our children and for our grandchildren, the Dori Doros.